Today is the first Sunday of the month of November, and in this month, the church wants us to think about a rather unpleasant subject, but one that is incredibly important for our spiritual lives. In fact, if we don't think about it, we may not save our souls at all. And that, of course, is the subject of purgatory. Today we should think about what the church teaches and its doctrines of purgatory, about how we incur temporal punishment from our mortal sins that usually remains even after we are forgiven in confession. And of course, we also get temporal punishment from our venial sins and our imperfections. This temporal punishment is a debt that we owe to the honor of God that we have to pay back, either in this world or in the next. And of course, the sufferings of this world are trivial in comparison with those of the next. Now, this is a subject that is very dear to all of our hearts. First of all, because we hope to end up in purgatory one day. We should be realistic enough to know that we are most likely not going to go straight to heaven after we die. So the only other alternative besides hell is going to purgatory. And for the same reason, we believe that many of our loved ones who have passed away, our family and friends, and even our ancestors, may well be there even now. But through the mercy of God, He allows us to help out the people in purgatory by gaining indulgences for them and offering penances and good works and prayers on their behalf. And that way we can reduce the amount of time they have to spend there, and we hope that when we die, people will do that for us too. As our Lord said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." If we show mercy to the souls in purgatory while we're alive, then we will receive mercy when we are the ones in need. All of this is basically the substance of what the church teaches on this subject, other than what I have said. We don't know a whole lot else about purgatory from the official teaching of the church. God has been pleased to keep most information about purgatory a very deep mystery, except for just the most basic facts. But there have been many, many, and in fact, countless stories about purgatory in the lives of the saints. Many saints have been given revelations about purgatory from God. And one of the best ways to learn about purgatory is to read about what God has revealed to the saints. One of the best places I know of to read about the revelations of purgatory is a book called Purgatory. It's published by TAN, or you can even download it for free on the internet. Written by a Belgian priest named Father Schoop in 1893. And this book is full of very beautiful stories that are very instructive about purgatory that I wanted to talk about some of them today. First of all, he talks about a very interesting vision that was granted to Saint Francis of Rome in the year 1440. God gave her many, many visions of the next world. She was a mystic. She had visions of hell and also visions of purgatory. So her superiors commanded her to write down these visions so that not only would she benefit from them, but all of us could benefit too. So we could learn about what God had told her. In one of these visions, she had a terrifying vision of hell, after which she was brought up into purgatory, where she said there was no horror or despair or eternal darkness. But she said the place was so full of hope that God told her that the place is actually called the Sojourn of Hope. She said in this vision she saw that purgatory is divided into three parts, like the three provinces of one kingdom. They're located one above the other, and they're occupied by souls in different types of circumstances. The lower down the souls are in these three levels, the more they suffer, because the more removed they are from God and the more defiled they are by the guilt of their sins. So the lowest region of purgatory for the most guilty souls is filled with a terrible fire, but it's not dark like hell. She said it's a vast burning sea that makes great flames, and the flames provide light. She said there were innumerable souls there. There were many souls that had committed mortal sins that they had confessed, but they hadn't done enough penance for them during life. She was told that the average amount of time in purgatory that someone has to suffer for a mortal sin is 7 years. Of course, that figure would vary greatly depending on the severity of the sin. Of course, every mortal sin will send someone to hell. But apart from that, they vary greatly in their gravity. But 7 years would be the average punishment after the mortal sin has been confessed. And even though the souls in this part of purgatory are surrounded by the same flames, she said they feel the fire more or less, depending on how guilty they are. In the bottom part of purgatory and in the lowest section, where the worst offenders are, she said there are both lay people and even people consecrated to God. The lay people here were people who had led very sinful lives, but had been given the grace to repent sincerely. But the religious were people who had not lived according to the sanctity of their state. While she was watching, she saw a soul enter into purgatory who was the soul of a priest that she knew. And she said that this priest had lived a pretty good life, but he had committed the sin of gluttony a lot during his lifetime, and that was why he was in this part of purgatory. After seeing the lowest part of purgatory, where the sufferings were the greatest and lasted the longest, she went up to the middle level, where there were souls that weren't quite as guilty as those in the bottom. She said there were three distinct compartments here. The first was an immense dungeon of ice, of incredibly intense cold. The second one was like a cauldron of boiling oil and pitch. And the third one looked like a pond of liquid metal, like molten gold or silver. And then she doesn't give a description of the highest level of purgatory, but she said that souls who are there suffer very little apart from the separation of God. Although, of course, the separation from God is actually the worst pain of purgatory. But those souls are very close to the end of their sentence. Now, this whole account is very interesting. We shouldn't think of it as a roadmap of purgatory or take these descriptions very literally. But the main purpose of the story is to indicate the different levels of guilt in there and the way that people are punished differently according to their varying degrees of guilt and the different kinds of sins that they committed. That's the main point of the story. There's another account of another vision a little bit later in this book that was given to Saint Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who was a Carmelite in Florence. In a similar way, she got to see the different types of punishments that are inflicted by the justice of God. This vision took place in the year 1607. When she was in the garden of her convent, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was. She was with several of her fellow nuns. And she was taken up into ecstasy, and she saw purgatory open out before her. And she heard a voice that invited her to visit all of the prisons of divine justice and see how all the souls there need our compassion and assistance. And she consented to go and see all of these things, even though she knew that it would be a horrific revelation. And for the next 2 hours, she walked around the garden, or rather her body did, but her soul was in ecstasy. And the other nuns who saw her while she was in ecstasy saw her wring her hands in compassion and distress, and her face was pale and her body was bent over with the weight of the terrible grief that she experienced from what she saw in this vision. And she cried out for mercy from God for the souls that she saw in that vision. And she said, "Poor souls, you suffer so cruelly, and yet you are so content and cheerful. The dungeons of the martyrs, in comparison with these, were gardens of delight." And she said that she didn't want to see these things, but she knew that it was God's will. And she saw different chambers in which people were punished who were guilty of different types of sins. In one place, she saw a great multitude of people who were being crushed under a press, like a hydraulic press. And she was told that these people had sinned by impatience and disobedience in their life. And then she was taken to the place where the liars are punished. And she said that they were confined in a place very close to hell. And their sufferings were absolutely terrible. There was molten lead poured into their mouths, and she could see them burn and yet at the same time tremble with cold. She saw another room in which there were souls that had sinned through weakness, and she made a very interesting comment about them. She said, "I thought that I would have seen you with the people who sinned through ignorance, but I was wrong. You burn with a more intense fire." So certainly ignorance and weakness take away some of the guilt of our sins, but based on what she said, people who sin out of weakness are more guilty than those who sin out of ignorance. She also saw people who were avaricious, who were too attached to the goods of this world, and she said that they were smelted like metal in a furnace. She also saw the prison of those who had sinned against purity, and that dungeon was so filthy and disgusting that it made her sick to her stomach, and she had to turn away from it. She saw the prison of people who had been proud and ambitious, and she said, "Those who wish to shine before men are now condemned to live in this frightful obscurity." She saw the dungeons of those who had been guilty of ingratitude to God. And this is very interesting. It says that they were drowned in a lake of molten lead, and her comment on them was that their ingratitude had dried up the source of their piety. And how often are we ungrateful to God? How often do we complain about our situation in life or about some difficulty or problem or temptation that we have? And how little time do we spend actually being grateful for the immense and the immeasurable mercy and goodness that God has shown to us over the course of our lives and every single day? All of the good things that he has given us in, not only in this world, but what is much greater, in the spiritual order. All of the sins that he has forgiven us, even many grievous sins, and we forget about all of those things. And whenever anything happens to us, anything bad, we say that God is unjust and shouldn't be letting us suffer. And we forget about all the good things he's done for us. And as she said, people who are not grateful to God for his spiritual benefits or even his temporal favors dry up the source of their own piety. People feel entitled to what God gives them out of his pure goodness and generosity. And then God becomes the one who is unjust instead of us, takes away the foundation of the spiritual life. But finally, after this last place, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi was allowed to go back into her body, and she came to herself in the garden. And she understood that God had wanted her to see all of that, so she would understand his perfect sanctity, and so she would detest as much as possible even the least sin and see what an abomination it is. These are just a couple of stories from this book on purgatory that I really recommend very highly. I strongly encourage you to read it and meditate on it in this month of November. As I'm sure you can tell, it is an extremely interesting book. There's a lot of fascinating and really amazing stories. And yet the author is always very careful to vouch for the authenticity of every story that he relates. He usually goes to some length to explain why the person that he is the original source of this story is a credible person. All of this is part of our religion. It's something that most likely, God willing, will affect us directly one day too. In fact, it affects us even now, because even now we most likely have friends or relatives that we need to help. Let us remember the words of St. Thomas Aquinas, who said that of all prayers, the most meritorious and the most acceptable to God are prayers for the dead, because they imply all of the works of charity, both corporal and spiritual. Let us pray these supremely meritorious prayers, especially during the month of November, but all year long. And one day there will be people doing the same for us when we need it the most. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.